deliver 72 bags of food to the Ritzton School District. That is 72 bags. It has enough. Well, generally, we try to get as healthy food as we can, but sometimes it's cookies and crackers and those kind of things. But it's stuff that kids can make. Because I don't know if you know, but even within our small little community that we have here, there's 72 kids that don't have that are considered food poor for the weekend. And so what we try to do is give them food to make sure that they can make it through the weekend and have food. Well, today, the last Sunday of March, we are, as churches of Ritzton, we're kind of like on the border of Ritzton and Ravenna, but all of the churches in Ritzton, the three churches that are part of that, I should say, Ritzton Church of Hope, Community Bible Church, and Passion Community Church, our church here, are taking up a special love offering to help fund that. This year, if you don't know anything about what's going on, I know there's been increased cost, I would say, for the food banks. And if you haven't heard that, right now, our cost for serving food to these kids, we were generally somewhere between $25 to $50 a week to pay for 72 bags of food. That cost has gone up now from $25 to $50 a week to now we're roughly over $175, almost $200 a week that we're having to pay. This is because, politics aside, it's just that the food banks are not receiving the donations that they used to receive because they're going to other places and other things. And so it has caused our costs to go up quite significantly. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for this program and just ask to see if you could, out of your goodness of your heart, give a few extra dollars to the food bag program. If at all, at any time, you want to do this outside of today, you're more than welcome to do that. You can do that in the tithe, just on the either on the envelope, just type in or write in food bag program, or if you do it online, just go ahead and make a note that it's also for the food bag program. Every dollar that goes into this program, by the way, goes directly into food. There is no other cost. All of the volunteers are not, we're all volunteers when we pack the bags. Pat and Sue and Bonnie and others that are here that have packed bags with us know that. Even the cost of the bags themselves, the bags that we put the food into, CBC and Passion take care of those costs together to buy those bags. And so there is absolutely no cost. Any of the dollars that are raised go directly into the food that would be given to these kids. And so we're asking you again, if you could just assist us and help us in doing this and bless us so that we can finish off this year strong in terms of the food bag program. So let's pray, and then we'll ask the ladies, Belinda, the gentleman and lady. Sorry. Yes, Corey. Yes, Corey, you can. Absolutely, you can. Yes. Thank you for that commercial and that question. I appreciate that question, Corey, so much. Thank you so much. Yes. If you're making out checks, you can make them out to Passion Community Church. Just put in the memo food bag program as well. So let's pray, and then we'll collect this love offering. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much that you have given us the chance to help these families in our community in need. We thank you for the blessing of being able to serve you and serve these kids. Father, we pray that each and every time we do these food bags, we pray this, Father, but it's truly our heart that as we pack these bags, it is packed full of food that is nutritious to the stomach, but it has, more importantly, the grace of God upon them, that they will receive that love and that grace on their hearts, Father. Lord, bless this program. You know what we're doing here. You know what's going on. We pray that you would continue to help us do this. We pray for the food bags, not just the food bag program, Father, but we also pray for the food banks, Father, that are also struggling right now, Lord Jesus. But we ask you, Father, help us to be able to continue to provide for these wonderful families and more importantly, kids in our community that need this food, Father. So Lord, bless us, bless the giver, Father, bless our hearts and bless those that are here today to that are willing to give even just a few dollars, Father, is so helpful to making this program continue on. We glorify you, Father, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name, amen. As they're passing out, as they're passing around the baskets, just real quickly, just want to let you know that our numbers have also increased in that food bag program. We were at one point doing 50 bags. We're now increased up to 72 bags. So the need in our community is real. And we love to be able to try to meet that need whenever possible. So, and then finally, one last thing. If you want to help volunteer to do these food bags, we do them every other Friday. This coming Friday will be the next food bag. We meet at Community Bible Church over on 18 in Ritztown. We meet there and pack together the bags. There's a handful of us that do that, and then we deliver them to the schools. And then, of course, we always have to stop at the greatest place ever, Dunkin' Donuts, afterwards to have a cup of coffee. It's not the greatest place ever, but it's a good place to stop afterwards. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we're going to be reading in starting in verse 14. I'm sure if you've been here for this series, as we've been going through this, you're tired of hearing this verse and reading this verse. Well, sorry, you get to read it a few more times. Hopefully, it will have set into your memory as we go through the armor of God. But let's read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 through 20. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. As you know, we have been going through the different armors, if you will, the armor of God. We've talked about, of course, the belt of truth and why it's so important to have a belt on. We've also talked about the breastplate of righteousness and how that is important. Last week, we spoke about the gospel of peace, or the shoes of peace, the readiness and being prepared to share the gospel wherever you go. To have those shoes put on so that as you walk out into the community, you have a reason and you're ready to speak that message. Because the shoes of peace, by the way, as you all know, if you were here last week, you know that it's not just talking about peace. It's talking about the gospel of Jesus and being ready to share that. Today, however, we get to one of my favorites, and that is the shield of faith. Paul says in verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Do you realize that this shield of faith is one of the only armors that Paul actually gives a specific role for? He talks about the gospel of peace, and he talks about the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and those types of things. But when he talks about the shield of faith, he immediately says to extinguish the darts of the evil one, the flaming darts of the evil one. But we have to look at this for a moment. We have to understand the shield of faith, we have to understand exactly what faith is. We have to understand how a shield can help us and protect us. Before we do, let's pause and just ask the Lord to bless us and help us. I know we're praying again, right? Twice? Pastor, you're praying twice. What's going on? No, but we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us wisdom as we go through this. So will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you so much for these words that Paul has given to us. We pray today that we can have the shield of faith strongly in our hands ready to extinguish the darts of the evil one that's given to us. Lord, bless our time today. Bless my words. Help me not to be, help them not to be my own, but let them be your words, Father, as we share this message together, as we look to growing our faith in you, Father. Guide us and direct us. Holy Spirit, come and give us the power and the understanding and the wisdom and all of the things that you have for us. You are welcome here. Come and change us and help us to follow you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the question I want to ask you is, what is faith to you? A lot of times when I think, I know this is going to, you're all going to have a different point of view for me here in a moment, but when I think of faith, I think of, I just lost it. It was right there. Is it George Michaels that sings the song Faith, right? That's the, as I started writing this sermon, as I wrote down that, I started singing that song and I'm like, I cannot do that. I got to stop. But faith, what is faith? The definition that I have always lived by for faith is the belief of things unseen. That is a scriptural definition of faith. What is faith? Faith is the belief and the understanding, the grasping of things that you cannot see. We live by faith, not by sight, but by faith, it says. Scripture tells us over and over again. And for years, I believed that meant that I just must believe. I just have to have this understanding. For many years of my early days of my pastor, becoming a pastor, I wasn't so, when it came to the class systematic theology, if you know what systematic theology, it's a seminary class that you take, and it's the basis, it's the guideline, it's the foundation of why we believe the things that we believe. That was not my favorite class. It was a book that was huge. It has how many pages? Well, Ben's not in here. I was going to ask Ben because I told Ben that he has to read it. So, but it's thousands of pages. It's a huge book, and it's a wonderful book. Wayne Grudem is the author, and he wrote this book. But as I was taking this class, it was not one of my favorite classes because, well, quite honestly, I just wanted to have faith. I just wanted to believe that things were going to be this way. And why there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, Scripture called Jesus, in his own words, says that we must have faith like a... or faith like a child, right? Now, the last time I checked, I don't know how many children are picking up the book Systematic Theology and reading Wayne Grudem. If you've never read Wayne Grudem, that's a laugh, and you'll understand that. Just pick it up and read a few, look him up online, read a few things of what he says. But over the last few years, I've started to make some connections. See, I think what happens often in our life of faith and our grasping of what faith is that we begin to think that faith is blind. Faith is not blind. I know there's a word called blind faith, right? You just have blind faith. Just trust me. You know, I used to joke with my friends all the time. I go up to them and say, just say yes. Why would I say yes? Because you have blind faith in me and you should trust me. So just say yes. And they'll look at me and say, I don't have blind faith in you, so I'm not going to say yes. But the truth of the matter is faith was never intended to be blind. Faith was intended to be used, and faith was intended to be able to be proven. See, today we have a lot of Christians who miss out on faith because it looks like hard work. We have a lot of Christians who come to understanding what faith really is and seeing faith, and they're like, I don't want to put in the energy and effort that it takes to build my faith up. I want someone just to regurgitate it to me, and I want to be able to take it. And I wanted to be able to take it like a Lego piece and put it together and that's it and I'm done and I don't need to do anything else. Well, I'm sorry to say, but true faith, building your faith in God through Jesus Christ with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit who walks with us today, it takes effort. It takes energy. When Paul speaks about this shield of faith, what he's talking about is he's not talking about a little... Captain America shield, right? You know, if you ever watched the Marvel movies, you see Captain America shield, and it was this round shield that covered maybe this much room of him, right? And it was light, and he would wing that thing across, and you'd do all of those things. When Paul is talking about a shield of faith, he's not talking about some little Captain America shield. What he's talking about is he's talking about a full shield that runs from head to toe. And it was and it also surrounded them like this. It was one of the most heaviest pieces of equipment that the Roman soldiers would carry. On top of that, what they would do is they would take this shield that was made of wood and metal, and they would soak it in water. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever soaked a piece of wood in water, but when you pull it out of the water, guess what? It be heavy. It's not light. And so you have to understand that when they soaked that wood in that water, that became the heaviest piece of armor that they carried. In fact, many soldiers hated carrying that shield of faith because it was so heavy, it tired them out. And so some chose, I'm not going to carry that shield of faith because it is just too heavy. See, faith in its own right, and it's done correctly, is something very heavy to carry. Faith is not something that you just yield around with something that is as simple as some little round shield that you pretend that you can protect and do things. No, faith can sometimes be heavy. It was intended for us to go deeper in our faith, not be light. Faith is way more than just the belief of the things unseen. Jesus is not unseen. He not only was seen as he walked this earth, we know about the disciples, we know about all of the miracles that he did and all of those things, but do you know when he resurrected from the dead, he was seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times by people who came to see. Over 400 people came and saw Jesus resurrected in his life. When we talk about God being unseen, Tell that to those that saw the Red Sea parted. Was God unseen then? Was God unseen when he was in the burning bush? Was God unseen in those moments? God, see, we think that faith is unseen, but it is not. It is very seen. It is very visible, and you can see it with your own eyes. And so we need to be very, very careful that we never look at this and say that faith is not something that we can see, because it is. By the way, the Holy Spirit is also not unseen. Now, someone may say, well, Pastor, I never seen you walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you have. Every Sunday I get up here to preach. You don't think I'm walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit? You think I'm saying things that I can say on my own? No, it's the Holy Spirit that gives me those things to say. I once had a conversation with a youth group age young man, and he asked me, he goes, can you see the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, yes, you can. And he said, how? I never see him. I never see this character of the Holy Spirit. I said, do you believe in the wind? He said, yes. I said, do you see the branches blow when the wind blows? Yes. Do you see the leaves moving along the ground? Yes. Well, you never see the wind, but it's there, and you believe it's there. And see, so sometimes what we have to understand is that when we look at this idea of a blind faith, we have to understand that faith is not intended to be blind. Faith is intended to be seen. When we define faith as unseen, we immediately are unheard in a world that wants to see. Do you understand that? When we tell people, oh, you just got to believe that God's there. When you just have to understand that God's there, you tell that to scientists who are trying to prove that Christianity is a falsehood, that creationism is a falsehood. You tell a scientist, just believe. What are they going to look at you? They're going to laugh you out of the building. And it's not just scientists. Today, in our world that we live in, we have to understand that our faith is being looked at by people all around us. What you do with your faith is going to show the people around you whether your faith is real or whether it's unseen and fake. And we have to learn to walk in our faith and let it be seen. We have to understand that faith is a belief in Jesus and the things that he did in his disciples. We are, Jesus, in his own words, says that we are blessed because we have believed and not seen. In his own words, in his great the book of John towards the end, John chapter 16 and 17, as he's laying out his prayer, he's saying, you know, pray for those that have been with me, but not just those, but also those that are still to come. He's praying for us, by the way. And what he's saying is that he's praying for us because we have not seen him yet. We can still believe in him. But can I challenge you today that you can see God working? You can see the Holy Spirit working. You can see, I can see faith working in people, and so can you. You can see faith working in yourself. You know whether your faith is working or not. Because when Ben comes up and says something and you want to throat punch him and you stop, you can say, look, my faith is working. Just kidding, Ben. But the truth of the matter is that faith can always be seen. It is something that we carry. Does it get heavy? Yes, sometimes faith gets very heavy. Sometimes in the midst of a battle, we have to understand that faith is very, very heavy. And we have to hang on to it with all that we can. But that doesn't make it untrue. Just because faith is heavy, or just because you don't see a personhood of Jesus walking beside you, holding your hand, that doesn't make it untrue. It just makes it something that you have to dive into and understand even more. We must work all that we can. Thomas Edison once said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. I love that statement that Thomas Edison made. In fact, on my when I was in the business world for many years, it was I printed it out and had it on my cubicle wall. I changed it just a little bit to say faith is often missed because it is dressed in hard work and doesn't come easy. Too often times we don't know how to yield the shield of faith because guess what? Having the shield of faith means that you have to do some work. You have to have a shield to use it, first of all. By the way, the shield was not only just used, the shield was used personally for each for themselves, but guess what? The shield, combined with the other soldier shields, would protect a whole entire legion of Roman soldiers. What they would do is they would wall themselves in with this shield all around them, and then they would have guys in the middle hanging their or holding their shields above their head like this. And they could be completely encased in protection. And so when an army was firing inside of them, what would happen? The shield would just protect the darts from getting in, the arrows from coming in. Your faith that you think is heavy doesn't just help you, it helps others around you too. Because today, all of us in this room together, if we would hold up our shield of faith together, guess what? Our shield of faith protects not only ourselves, but it protects each other too. And so we must learn to yield this shield of faith together. We must learn to walk with this. We must learn to move forward together in faith. Because the shield, as good as the protection as it was, wasn't just used to yield off the fiery darts. I dare you to stand in front of a Roman soldier who is marching at full speed, running at full speed with a shield, and think that you're not going to be bowled over. Because guess what? You're going to be not only bowled over, but then you're going to be trampled upon as they walk all over you as they run across to wherever they're going. The shield of faith was not only for protection, but it was also offensive too. And too often when we look at the armor of God, we think of the armor of God of something that is defensive and not offensive. But each one of these can be used as not only defense against the attacks that Satan is sending to us, but we should also put our shields together and start bowling over the enemy. We need to start marching forward and going forward and wiping out the enemy in front of us. Faith is a belief. It is a belief. It's an understanding. It's more than just words, though. Faith has actions and it has proof. I don't care. You know, I've gotten to a place in my life where I guess I'm getting old, Pastor Chess. Because I used to kind of like a walk around things and try to be, and I still do that to some extent, but when someone comes to me and says, I have faith, I'm like, prove it. Show me the proof. You have a life in Jesus Christ? You're walking with Jesus, you're walking with him, you say that he's the king of your life, he says that he's the most important, then prove it to me. The Bible says that Jesus says that we will know his followers by the fruit they produce. So what fruit are you producing? If your faith is real inside of you, if your faith is growing inside of you, then you're going to have fruit. You're going to be producing something. It's going to have actions. It's going to have, it's, you're going to be able to look back and say, this is exactly what has happened to me in my life. When I talk to a Christian who says, I've been a Christian for 30 years. Oh yeah, show me the proof. What have you done for 30 years with your faith? Have you slapped on the life insurance, the fire insurance on your behind just so you don't have to burn in hell and you'll be able to go to heaven? Is that the only thing, that's the proof that you've gotten? Great. I can go buy life insurance to do the same exact thing. Well, not exactly, but where is the proof of your faith? See, faith is not just, it is a belief, but it's not just a belief. It's understanding. It's getting to the core. Every single believer has this promise. And that promise comes from John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. See, faith is a protective barrier between heaven and Satan himself. When we believe God and take him at his word, we remain grounded in truth. The lies of the enemy lose their power and we become overcomers. In that way, our shield of faith is covered. Let me say that again because I totally messed that up. The lies of the enemy lose their power and we become overcomers when we grow in our faith. Our shield is the faith that we grow in. Faith is a belief. It's more than understanding. It's more than just words. It is actions and it's proof. It's time for us to stop passing on the shield or replacing it for something that was never meant to be and pick up that shield of faith and start growing in that. And when I say that, what I mean is that Christians, we gotta stop pretending that we have faith. And when I say it, I'm going to give you, I'm saying this in all love to all of you, because I'm also speaking to myself in this way. This past week on Monday night, my wife and I had stomach flu, we had food poisoning. And 1 o'clock in the morning, we woke up and I heard my wife and I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm like, I have to go to a different bathroom. And it was within 15 minutes of each other, we started getting sick. And so from 1 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning, that would have been all the way until noon on Wednesday, I lost everything that I had. I'll try to be polite. And as I'm laying on the bathroom floor, questioning my life and whether I wanted to continue living or not, I'm like, what is up with this? What poor choices in my life have I made to get me to the place where I'm laying on a bathroom floor of all places? I love my house. I even kind of like our bathroom, but I don't love it enough to sleep on the floor. Let me tell you that. And as I did that, I'm thinking to myself, where is God in all of this? Why isn't he saving me from this sickness? God, and I'm pleading with him, Lord, please let this be the last time. Please let, please. I'm sorry. I'll try to. And as I was in the middle of doing this, I realized, where's my faith, the belief? Where's my faith in all of this? See, faith is something that we have to understand, that we have to grasp a hold of. We have to stop telling our problems. We have to stop moaning and complaining. I'm going to say it differently. Stop moaning and complaining about your problems and start building your faith in God. See, too many of us, including myself, sit there and we cry and we complain about these problems that we have in our life and we say, oh, I wish this or I wish that or what's this? You want to overcome the problems in your life? Build your shield of faith. Because what does Paul tell us? Paul tells us that the shield of faith is going to extinguish the darts of the evil one towards us. No problem that you are facing today, I don't care who you are and where you're at in your life, no problem in your life today cannot be overcome with more faith. The problems that we have in our life today is because we have a lack of faith. And it's not to say that somehow our faith takes away those problems. See, it doesn't. Your problems aren't going to go away just because you have faith, but what you're going to do is you're going to have someone who walks with you and shows you how to get out of those issues and carries you through those problems to get you through all of those issues and gets you there. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems. What it means is that you have someone to walk through those problems with you. And it's going to show you how to do it. So if you're questioning, how do I get over this temptation? Have more faith. How do I get over this sickness? Have more faith. Now that doesn't, again, it doesn't mean that our faith does something magical. It does, God is what does something in us. But it's our belief that he can do those things that we must learn to grow in today. Zig Ziglar, the great motivational speaker I absolutely love, once said, fear and faith have the same definition. They both mean believing something is going to happen. It's all in your perspective. I love that statement. Because see, when you face a problem in your life, you can either have a fear that it's going to overcome you, or you can have the faith that you're going to overcome it. And it is your choice to decide which way you go. It's your choice to decide how I'm going to overcome this. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? It's all about perspective. It always has been. It's time for us to trade in fear for a faith that grows in Jesus. Maybe it's time for us to end an unhealthy dating relationship, take a leap into a new career, or even let go of a past failure that you have. Maybe it's time to walk away from all of those things because you got to grow in your faith. We have to learn to be who he says us to be and what he wants to do in us. So you may be asking, how does the shield protect us? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. The armor protects not only the man himself, but it protects the other pieces of armor as well. Do you know that? The shield of faith is the only piece of armor that also protects every other piece of armor that we are going to that we have talked about and what we will talk about. The shield of faith is the only one. The shield of faith protects the helmet of salvation. How? Well, when there's a dart flying at your head, what are you going to do? The very first thing you're going to do is throw up that shield, right? The shield hides the sword of the Spirit, and you're ready to use it by whipping it out and going to town if you have to, right? Every other piece of armor is protected by the shield. It's the same with our faith. Everything that you have in your life is protected by your faith in Jesus Christ. You understand that? There's nothing in your life that isn't affected or isn't changed by your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you understand that your faith protects everything with you, then you'll understand the value and why it's so important for us to walk in faith. If you want to protect your mind, you protect your mind with the shield of faith. If you want to protect your heart, you protect your heart with the shield of faith. You want to protect your affections, your heart, your desires, your love, all of those things. You do that with faith. All of these things are important for us to understand that as we are, the shield of faith that we carry is what protects everything else. It's what helps us do these things that we need to do, that we can use the belt of truth. We can use the shoes of peace, the gospel, sharing the gospel message. You can't share the gospel message if you don't have faith in the gospel message. Do you understand that? If you think, I don't know if this is really true, but you know what? There's this guy named Jesus and he's really cool and I think you should get to know him. He could be true. I don't know. Give me a break. I would tell you to get out. I don't want to listen to that. People who don't know Jesus are going to tell you the same thing. If you want to come against the attacks of Satan, if you want to stand firm in all that you do, you have to have faith. And just like Jesus is always the answer in Sunday school class, you know, what color is the sky? Jesus. You're right. You're right. As a children and as a young child in Sunday school, if you just answer Jesus, you're going to get the answer right 90% of the time. Just like that, faith is the answer to almost every problem that we have. Are you doubting? Have more faith. You feel like you can't see Jesus? Have more faith. Grow your faith. And when I say have, see, this is the problem. Have more faith. It's like it's something that we do. No, it is something that we do. It's believing more in Jesus. It's diving deeper. See, this is the problem. We have made faith be something that we can just go and I'm going to take this off the shelf and I'm going to plug it in a little bit, get my faith charged a little bit, and I'm going to unplug it on Sundays or after I get done with church on Sundays, and then the rest of the week it'll sit on the shelf. That's not what it was intended to do. Faith was intended to be built up inside of you so that everything, so your faith just pours out of you. It's not something that you come and you do on short periods of time. It's something you do every single day, every single moment of your life. The armor protects not only the man himself, but it also protects the other pieces of armor as well. It is the grace that preserves all other graces. That was spoken by William Gurnall. He was a Puritan pastor from many years ago. But I love this idea, though, that we have to have faith in all of these things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, one of my favorite, is known as the faith chapter. Right? If you ever read, if you want to read about the faith, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read it. It's a wonderful book. But here we find Hebrews chapter 11, 1-3 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation." By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And without faith, it is impossible. Verse 6, I'm jumping over a few stories of faith there to verse 6. And it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." One of the saddest things that I see as a pastor is when someone comes up to me and says, "I'm having this issue in my life, Pastor, and I can't get over it." And I look at them and I say, "Well, do you believe that Jesus can help you through this?" "Well, I guess." It just happened this past week, actually. And I hear that and I'm like, you have to understand that Jesus has given you everything you need to overcome any issues in your life today. You have to understand that. And that starts with having a faith that goes beyond all things. You have to just know and you have to trust. But it's not just blind faith. It's also understanding. It takes work. It takes diving into Scripture, opening up Scripture and reading. It's by, listen, Corey stole my thunder a little bit this morning, but that's okay. But, you know, it is by going through these issues that you build faith. You understand that? It's by going through these things in life. When you're going through something, when you're going through a tough time in life, you have two choices to make. You can either stick it out or you can quit. Sticking it out is going to require you to go through maybe something painful. But guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow some faith. You're going to walk in that path. You're going to walk forward. You're going to walk straight forward, and you're going to get through those things because God doesn't leave you in the same place. It's your choice to stay in the same place, but God doesn't want you ever to stay in the same place. He wants you to continue walking forward. We must understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is impossible to please him without faith. Let me read this one more time. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." You're looking to please God? Then guess what? Have some faith. But that's not... I'm struggling with this a little bit today, Pastor Chad, because it's not just as simply as having faith. It's not something, again, that you can take off the shelf. Having faith means, when I say have some faith, I mean put the work in. Open up your Bible. Get down on your knees and pray. Seek him. God, as much as I wish God would come and just slap some people alongside the head, I really wish he would do that. Some of you not excluded from that statement, but I'm kidding. Maybe not. I wish that it would be that easy, but it's not. God wants, listen, if God would come and do these things for you, if he would slap you along the side of the head and just grant you with some amazing amount of faith, how's that going to help you in the future when you're facing the same issue that you're facing right now? How is going through something and then just, listen, we live in a world where everything is given to us. I'm amazed at some kids today and how they're given everything. I'm sounding really old right now. I know it. Yep. But the truth of the matter is that there was a day and time, and there still is a day and time, where you had to work for something. You had to put in the work to get something. See, today we have a whole bunch of people, including a lot of older people and us, me maybe, I'll speak for myself, who just want something to be given to us. Guess what? It doesn't come like that. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes a relationship with God. It takes diving into his word. It takes getting down on your hands and knees. It takes getting down on your knees and praying to God and saying, help me in this situation. Show me. Give me the wisdom. Stop crying about the problems you have and start asking for more faith and growing his faith so you can overcome the problems that you're going through. I'm tired of hearing people go, I just can't overcome this temptation. Yes, you can. Stop being a wimp. Stand up and grow some faith. I almost said it. I didn't. That's close, but I didn't. I almost said it. But the truth of the matter is stop complaining about the problems that you're going through and start building the faith inside of you to overcome those issues. You have problems. Yes, we all do. Guess what? Every single one of us has problems. So grow in your faith. It's not too late. It's not too late. As I said before, faith is not blind. It's an assurance. Paul says, listen, if we go back to I'll bring it back to the Bible because that's what you always do when you say something like that. Bring it back to the Bible. Now, faith is what? Assurance. What is an assurance? Assurance is what? A guarantee. I'm going to get it. If I just have this, I get this. When you have an assurance of something, you have someone's word, you have their understanding, you have their promise that they're going to give this to you, that they're going to give you whatever you need. And so when Paul says that now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, what is he saying? He's saying to us that faith is the assurance of everything that we need. It is what we need to walk in. It's what we need to talk in. It's what we need to build in inside of us. Stop building the fear of the problems in your life and start building the faith inside of you. It's not blind. It was never intended to be blind. Faith was never intended to be without proof. We must walk in that assurance. We must walk in those things. We must walk in that understanding. I have said this to our prayer team, and I'm going to say this to all of you. When you pray, you better believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you're praying for, God can do. Because if you doubt it just for a moment, I don't want you praying for me. I don't want no. I want no wimpy person coming up and praying for me, thinking that they're not going to, that God can't do and overcome what's going on in my life. That's why I guarantee you, when you pray, when you come and ask me to pray, I guarantee you the one thing that you're always going to get is I believe that God can do whatever I ask. He can do whatever I ask, but it doesn't always work that way, of course. We know that. But I know for sure that my God can do these things. Why? Because I've experienced them in my own life. I was wishing for that on Tuesday when I was on the bottom, on the bathroom floor. And maybe I needed to grow my faith just a little bit more that day. But God, I've seen God do miracles. Why? Because I was there. I'm all over the place, and I get that. I understand. I'm sorry. But I just want you to understand that today, too many people are asking for God to do a miracle, and they're not willing to put the work in to get the miracle. They're asking for God to do something great in their life, but they're not willing to do something great to get that great thing that God wants. Instead, what they do, they blame everyone else. They blame them. They blame God for not being there. They blame my friends, my doctors, whatever. No. You want something great to happen in your life? Start doing great things. Put yourself in a position to see great things. The miracles that happen by Jesus' own hands were because people, including Jesus, was at work doing those things. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I never once read a story in the Bible where some guy was sitting on a couch in his house doing absolutely nothing. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes work to carry the shield of faith. But it is worthy to be carried because it is what extinguishes the darts of the evil one and protects everything else that's in your life. If we're going to go to war with the shield, we have to understand that it is the most absolute essential piece of everything we do. I want to remind you that the shield is going to put out the attacks of Satan. We all want to shield off those darts. Because when those fiery darts hit, guess what? They don't feel so comfortable. We all want those shield. We all want to put those off. But it starts today. You got to build your faith. You got to build your shield today so that when you enter into that war, when those darts come flying at you, you have that shield already built. Because when the darts start flying, it's too late to start pounding nails together to try to get a shield built. You better have that shield built before those darts start flying. And guess what? Satan's not waiting for any of you to build your faith, to build your shield. Attacks from Satan are going to come. And I want to overcome. I'm sure all of you want to overcome those attacks. But it's time that we stop giving him too. I had said in my notes that I'm tired of the yarts that Satan's throwing at me, right? You ever realize, you know what a yard is? You guys ever have those? You never had those yard darts where you throw them up there called yarts, right? Today they're illegal. You can't have them, you know, because some kid probably had their eye poked out or something. But we used to have those yard darts. You remember that? We'd throw it like that. Satan isn't throwing just yard darts at us. He's throwing flaming arrows ready to do their work. But our answer to these attacks isn't some unattainable thing. It's very attainable, and it's called faith. And we're called to shield our faith. Bear our shield of faith. I want to remind you that today, if you're under attack, the very first thing you should do is not complain about that attack. You should start building your shield of faith. If you're under temptation, start building your shield of faith. If you're under attack health-wise, start building your shield of faith. If you're under attack financially, start building your shield of faith. That's why, listen, I know Jay does he says it, and I don't need to say it, but I'll say it. You know, every Sunday he gets up here and he says, it's not about the money, right? It's not. Guess what it's about? It's about faith. It's not about the money. It's about being faithful to him who has given to you. And so what we must do is continue to press on. We must understand that if we draw close to Jesus, then our shield of faith is going to grow. And our worry is never to be how to defeat Satan. It's already been done. Listen, too many of us are trying to spend time trying to figure out how to defeat Satan. He's already been defeated. You don't need the next military move. You don't need the next proof. You don't need the next thing to change that. You don't need any of those things. It's already been done. Jesus has already defeated him. What you need is more faith in him who has already defeated Satan. And so it's time to move forward. I'm going to ask you to stand where the worship team come forward, please. As I was saying that, I could hear some groans, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know the trouble I'm going through. You don't know the... You're right, I don't. But guess who does? Jesus is well aware of everything that you're facing today. And if our strength in him, our shield of faith is grown, he is stronger than anything we'll ever face in this world. I'm going to call a little BS for a moment. You're struggling today because of the lack of your faith. It's time that we stop blaming everything else and start blaming what it really is. God has given us Jesus, and through Jesus, he's given us a plan. He's given us the way to defeat everything, to walk with him. Does that mean that we'll be healed in this land? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to be okay. But in the midst of it, we have a way out. In the midst of our troubles and our trials and our tribulations, we have someone that we can reach up and grab a hold of, and he will comfort us and pull us out of that pit. We struggle, we moan, we complain because we're allowing Satan to attack us. Stop giving him power that he doesn't deserve or get. Every time you complain about something that's going on in your life, saying, I don't know that I'm ever going to make it through this. I don't know that this is going to happen. I don't know. Every time you start doing that, guess what you're doing? You're throwing wood on the fire of Satan. You're pouring gasoline on it, because guess what? Now he knows he has an in. And I'm going to press a little harder. I'm going to pour a little bit more. So in the midst of these issues, in the midst of these problems, why don't you just stop and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, Lord, I know that you have defeated him in my life, and I know that you will. And so what I need today is stop complaining about these issues and start trusting you and growing my life in you. And so I'm making a point today to stand before you. I'm making a point today to go further. I'm making a point today to be stronger. God wants men and women, not ordinary human beings with ordinary faith, but those who would catch his attention by their extraordinary, limitless faith. I'm going to read this and then we'll close in prayer. Many years ago, in the midst of a really terrible, terrible battle I was doing, this was way before Passion. I was at a different church. My wife and I had just got married. My father was in a really, really bad car accident the day before our wedding. Our honeymoon got canceled. Our reception got canceled. I told you in previous sermons that I had quit my job because they had asked me to lie in the court. This is a wonderful time to get married, right? And then on top of that, I found out that I had to have surgery, and I was going to ask my wife to have to pack some things that she should never have to pack as a newlywed. Let me just say that. And as I'm sitting there, I went to church. I heard this statement. It's called the Confession of Enduring Faith. And it completely changed my life, and I have read it almost every single week of my life since, and I will continue to do it because it's so strong. It says, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap loving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't even have to be right. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but that is true. I don't have to be first or tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk with patience, lift by prayer, and labor in power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate the table of enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up in the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. I am part of the unashamed. Are you? Dr. Bob Moorhead wrote that some 45 years ago in the midst of a cancer struggle that he was having in his life. Most amazing story is that he wrote this, and just a few days later, his life was taken from him by cancer. But his statement that he reads still lives inside of all of us, and we have a choice to do that today. Is your banner clear? Is your face strong? Are you part of the unashamed? That's your choice today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. We lift you high and mighty because you deserve that so much and so much more, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray today that our shield of faith won't be some small, piddly little Captain America shield, but instead it's a full armor of God that covers us from head to toe, that is so strong that it extinguishes the darts of the evil one. Lord, we pray today that we can walk in that faith today. Lord, I pray today that each and every single person that's in this room would stop complaining about the things that they're going through and instead lift up the name of Jesus and how powerful he is to overcome those things that are in our life. That doesn't take away the pain. We understand that, Lord, but we understand, or the temptation, but it gives us a way out. May we not have blind faith, but may we instead have faith full of eyes that see Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God moving in our lives today. Father, today in this room, there may be some or watching at home online that have never given their life to Christ before. They've never said the words that Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if we confess with our mouth and that we believe with our heart that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we can have everlasting eternal life with him. And so, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, I ask you, as you're working in our hearts today, if there's someone here that needs to make a commitment today to have this enduring faith, this growing faith, may they make that commitment that starts first with a relationship with you, that says, I need your forgiveness. I need you in my life, Jesus. Help me. Walk with me. Forgive me of my sins, so that I can be with you. And Father, I want to pray if there's someone here today that has said those words, but somehow along the way have lost their step, lost their faith, lost their movement, then today, Lord, let today be the day where they make a commitment that I am not going to remain the way that I have. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to grow in my faith in you. Lord, help us today in this place to have a shield of faith so large that it doesn't just cover us, it covers the communities that we live in. Help us have a shield of faith that will bowl over the enemy when he tries to come in our way. or stand in our way. Help us to have a shield of faith that overcomes every issue that's in our life. That you inside of us would be our goal. Help us today, Father. We love you. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. We lift you high and mighty today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right before they sing this song, just one last thing. These altars are open. Nothing more than what we would love to do is to have, be able to pray for you, to lift you up, to ask the Lord to give you a faith injection like you've never had before. But that takes not just our prayers, that takes also you receiving that. So we invite you to come forward. We invite you to come down, give your life to Christ if you haven't done that already, but to ask and receive the prayer that the Lord wants to give to you. Let's sing this worship song together. Come forward if you'd like. These altars are open.
I feel in my heart, and I feel it's true that if the Holy Spirit is challenging us to get our butts down here together, to worship and encourage each other. You know there's people out there that they want to come, but they don't want to be the first one. I'm the first one. Please come and join me so that we have a bond and a strength by the Holy Spirit to be a family and to strengthen and encourage one another. Don't be afraid to come down. We're a family. Come down and let's worship together, please.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you're calling us to a new level of faith in you, that we can overcome those things, that we can be a family, that we can be those things that draw us together to you. You are the thing that draws us together. Let us walk in those things, having victory over the things that attack us in our life today, because we are following you and you are our shield of faith. Let us believe in our hearts that you are the answer. Let us walk in that answer every single day, together as warriors, as family, as loved ones. And let us be successful in all of the callings that you've given to us, to share the gospel with our families, to share the gospel in our communities, to share the gospel in our cities, to see you glorified and your kingdom come here in this place. We love you, Lord. We lift you high. We glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. If you want to stay up here, we'd love to continue praying for you if you want. Otherwise, be blessed. We'll see you.